Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There was this person that was praying and talking to the Lord about the coming year, and they said, Lord, I just have two requests for next year. I would like for you to give me a fat bank account and a skinny body. And Lord, please don't mix it up again like you did last year. Amen. I just had to throw that in. We heard that in California. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to be talking about health and healing. And in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9, the gifts of healing are listed. They're gifts of healing. And divine healing is the supernatural power of God causing an immediate cure or a gradual healing. Healing can be instantaneous, it can be immediate, or it can be gradual. While we were in California, we sat at a table with a man that had a testimony, and he said that he had had a degenerative disease for 8 years and had a lot of bad symptoms. And 2 years ago in those meetings, someone called out all of the symptoms that he had. And he said, I didn't feel any different in the moment, but I felt God's healing me right now. And within 2 weeks, every symptom was gone, and he was totally healthy. And so that was a miracle of healing. It was divine healing, because what had not been able to be accomplished in 8 years, in 2 weeks, he was totally well. God healed him right then. Peter gave me a testimony last Sunday, a week ago Saturday. He was going to be leading praise on Sunday, and he had hurt his hand, his guitar hand, and it was swollen and just very sore and swollen. And Alisana said, "Oh, Daddy, I'll pray for you." And she prayed for him, and within 15 minutes, all of the swelling was gone. Hallelujah. That's a divine healing. The swelling doesn't go out of a hurt hand that fast, and it's okay. Hallelujah. We heard another testimony this week. Calvin's sister, Linnell, is a chaplain at the Sierra Vista Hospital, and a few days ago, a doctor came and grabbed her and says, "There's an emergency. Come go with me." And he's on the way, he said, "There's a lady that has 2 hours to live, about 2 hours to live. She's dying and she's panicking. And please come and minister to her." So she went in and she prayed for the lady, and then she led her in a prayer of salvation, and peace just descended on her. And the doctor had left. About an hour later, the doctor came back and he couldn't find anything wrong with her. And he went and called three more doctors to come in, and they all examined her, and they all said there's nothing wrong with her. So when she received Jesus, she received healing. And that's really interesting, because the same time that Jesus paid for our sins to be forgiven, he paid for our healing. So they really go together. Amen. Divine healing is not natural healings. Our bodies are created to heal themselves. For instance, if you skin your knee, you know, your body's created to begin to repair it and heal itself. Sometimes adjustments in posture or diet or exercise can affect the natural process of the body to heal itself. We're to care for our bodies. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. And I'm reading in the King James, so I'll give you a little bit to find it in your Bibles. Yeah. Yes.
I'm going to do the scriptures, so they'll be up there, but I just wanted to share a testimony real quick. Sunday night, we were at the house, and Jasmine and Peter were also there hanging out with us, so they can attest to this. But we had eaten lunch, and we had gone home in the afternoon, and I had just like a super strong pain in my upper stomach. And it wasn't like, it was just a pain. Like, I wasn't sick, I wasn't anything. It was just hurting me really bad and really strange. And a couple hours had gone by and it just didn't go away. And they, you know, they ordered pizza and they're eating pizza. And I turned down pizza. I was like, "No, you know, I don't know what's going on, but this really, really hurts." And we were watching We watched AD, that new series that's on about, you know, the Holy Spirit and all that, and it was really awesome. And afterwards, when we were getting ready to go to bed, I laid there and I'm like, you dummy, like, you've been putting up with this pain this whole time. Don't you remember, like, you can pray? You believe in the one that's the healer. And so I just laid there, and it wasn't like some big giant prayer. I was just like, God, you know, I know, I believe you're my healer, and we always testify how you're our healer. And Mitch had prayed with me too. And I went to, you know, I was laying down, and it was the same, like Peter, like not even 10 minutes later, it was gone. And so, you know, it was funny how I had just been putting up with this, and I remembered that, hello, God's our healer, and he did heal me. And then again, tonight, I was doing some stuff with the flowers, and I made them out of chicken wire, and some of them have the little things sticking out, like thorns on a flower, actually. And I was moving one, and I cut my hand pretty good right here. It's not that big, but it's really, it stings. It's like a big paper cut, and it hurts really bad. And during practice, I'm like, oh, great. You know, I'm going to play the tambourine, and I'm going to just hit my hand the whole time, you know. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to praise God. And I played the tambourine the whole time, and I didn't feel it once. I mean, I'm hitting my hand, and I didn't feel it once, and I'm going back there, and just the slightest movement is stinging. But during the worship, hitting it over and over again, I didn't feel it once. So.
Yes, amen. Hallelujah. That's awesome. Okay, we're at 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. And it said, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. So, you know, our body is where, this is where the Holy Spirit lives. And we're to take care of it. We're to honor it. We're to do what we can to keep it healthy. Amen. 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2 says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. So living in health, living in divine health, is even better than healing. You know, praise God for healing, but it's good to be able to live in health. Amen. There's seven things our body needs to be healthy naturally, that is good for us to do to take care of our body and honor the body that the Lord gave us. Water is real important. We need to drink like at least 8 cups of water a day. We need 7 to 8 hours of sleep a day. We need to eat good food, and we need to eat fresh food, you know, living food. We need to eat raw fruits and vegetables every day. And we need to, you know, avoid a lot of processed sugar and processed grains and artificial sweeteners. There's things that, you know, we just need to be careful with, because it's proven that they're harmful to our body. Amen. But basically everybody has a different body chemistry a little bit. There's general things that are general rules, but everybody's built a little different. And so we need to ask the Holy Spirit's help. Guide me. Show me if there's things that I need to change and what I need to do to help nourish the body that you gave me. Another thing that we need to do is exercise. Our bodies need exercise. I think it's good. Another supplements are another thing, you know, just to make sure we have what we need. And all of these things, you know, they're basic things that we need, but we need to be led by the Spirit in it. Amen. What would you say, Lord? Would you say? And another thing we need to do every day is de-stress. We need to take time to breathe. Sometimes we'll get so busy or so upset, all of a sudden we realize, I'm really not breathing. You know, and you need to just relax and take big breaths every once in a while. And another thing that will really de-stress the body is to stop and praise the Lord often. praise just, it just relaxes you. You can be uptight about something or stressful about something, and you can just stop and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just praise you, Lord. And it'll just drain the stress out of you. You know, it'll take the anxiety out. We heard at the meeting we went to, that this speaker, she was speaking, but every little bit should just stop. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And another lady that was preaching there says, I went up to her after, you know, that I just haven't seen that. That's kind of unusual. And she said, well, I was under a lot of stress, and the Lord told me to, I got a little timer and hung it on my clothes that nobody else can hear. It's just a little beep. It goes off every 10 minutes. And every 10 minutes, I just stop and praise the Lord. No matter what I'm doing, every 10 minutes, I stop and praise the Lord. And the stress has just went out. There's just not any stress there anymore. You know, it doesn't have time to build up because I just often go and praise the Lord. So something we need to do is de-stress ourselves. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. But there's ways in worship, stopping and worship God. Stop and think about the Lord. Take time to breathe deep. Hallelujah. Especially if we're in a tense situation, real busy. Sometimes we'll get too busy to think about breathing, you know. And we were in a dangerous traveling situation one time, and Calvin felt like he was about to pass out. And all of a sudden he realized he hadn't been breathing. He'd been holding his breath. So, you know, it's just like we have to, it's just common sense that we need to do that. And another thing we need to do is detoxify our bodies, just cleanse our bodies of things in them that we're not supposed to have. And good things are lemon, you know, fresh lemon in a cup of warm water in the morning, and just go through your system and clean it real good. Beets, dark berries, kale, carrots. There's some natural live foods that are just really good to cleanse our body. Hallelujah. And those are just natural things that we can do to take care of the bodies that God gave us. The medical practice or doctors enhance or impede the natural process of healing using chemical or mechanical intervention, such as a chiropractor making adjustments, or a medical doctor setting a broken bone, or giving medication. You know, so those are the medical practice can do things that also will help our bodies. James 1:17 says, every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. And so if there's doctors that help us, that's a gifting that blesses us. You know, but even then, we need to be led by the Spirit, because you can go to some doctors that, you know, they may try to put you on 7 medications the same day you go to them, and you don't even need them. They'd mess you up if you take them. So, you know, ask a second opinion. Pray about it. God, is this what I need? Be led by the Spirit in what you do. Don't just go to somebody and just do everything they say. Listen, take time to listen to your heart. Take time to get a second opinion, you know. So be aware and be led by the Spirit. Until we receive the manifestation of divine healing, it's okay to do whatever we can to fight on and stay healthy. Going to the doctor or taking medicines will not keep you from receiving divine healing, but it's important to keep our faith in the Lord, not in the doctor or what we're doing for ourselves. You know, me doing natural things to try to stay healthy won't hinder me from being healed by God if my focus is on the Lord and my trust is on Him. Amen. It's just common sense to do what we can. Divine healing happens in the Spirit and affects the natural. The gifts of the Spirit are the gifts of the Spirit. Healing comes from the Spirit. And so healing, divine healing, comes in the Spirit realm, and then it affects our natural bodies. Supernatural healing is wrought by the power of God, and we receive that gift by faith. We don't work for it. It's already paid for. Jesus paid the price for our healing. And we don't work or try to get healed. If we're trying to get healed, that's like a work of the flesh, because it's by faith. And faith is in the Spirit realm. Healing's in the Spirit realm. It's believing in the Lord. Hallelujah. The gifts of healing often work with other gifts of the Spirit. Many times the gifts of healing work with a word of knowledge. In a service, you'll hear a minister say, somebody have this problem or that problem or that other problem. You know, stand up or just reach out in faith because God's wanting to heal you right now. And so many times when the Lord speaks something to someone, a minister, it's because someone out there has a need. And when you respond, hallelujah, the healing's flowing right then. And also, the gift of healing works with the discerning of spirits, because many times sicknesses, there's a demon spirit behind it. And often in Jesus' ministry, when there was sick come to him, a lot of times he would cast out the devil and then they would be healed. And that was a real common thing. It's not, there's not always a demon, but, you know, sometimes there is. So we need the discerning of the spirits working with the gifts of healing. We're going to read a couple examples. Matthew 17:18. And Jesus was ministering to an epileptic child, and Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. And then another example is Acts 8:7. It says, for unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. So here we have an example where evil spirits were cast out of these people. They left them, and then they received their healing. They were healed. It's important to look at the answer, not look at the problem, but keep our focus on the answer, who is Jesus. When the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they had been in rebellion to God, and poisonous snakes came in, and they were biting the people, and they were dying. And the Lord told Moses to make a brazen serpent and put it on a pole and lift it up. And when it was lifted up, if the people would look to it, they would not be hurt. And so, can you think how difficult that would be to have poisonous snakes all around your feet and look up? And it's the same way with healing. We get our attention on what's hurting us when our answer is looking up. So we have to focus on the Lord because he is the answer. And John 3:14-15, it's a New Testament account of this, and it says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And faith, healing comes by faith. So when we believe him, hallelujah, and put our focus and our attention on him, hallelujah, that's where we will find our answers. We're going to Deuteronomy 3:19. It says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. And so we can choose death or we can choose a life. It's a choice that we need to make. And choosing to keep our focus and eyes on Jesus will set us free. We are in a battle, but the battleground is in our mind and emotions. And 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And so we walk by faith in the Lord Jesus in needing healing, not by what we see. And if Satan can keep us operating in the sense realm, what we see and feel and hear and touch, the natural realm, if he can keep us in our emotions and our sights in the natural realm, he'll destroy us. But if we keep ourselves in the faith realm, We will overcome Satan. Hallelujah. We need to seek the healer, and it's a matter of focus. Worship is a good thing to change our focus. When we worship God, when we spend time worshiping Him and lifting Him up, it just brings us up with it. It brings us up into the Spirit. It brings us up to where the Lord is, where the answers are. It's like, you know, it says, you know, this mountain will be cast into the sea if we believe. And a lot of times a mountain that looks absolutely impossible to us looks so big. After we spend time worshiping the Lord and getting lost in the Spirit, we begin to see the greatness of God. And when we look at the greatness of God in comparison to the mountain that's in our life, there's no comparison. You know, it's just like, oh God, this thing that was so overwhelming and impossible to me is nothing for you. You know, we get our focus on a higher realm. Hallelujah. Mark 16 in the Great Commission, it says, all talking about all believers, it says, they shall lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. So every born again believer is called to heal the sick. Everyone. Everyone that believes is called to heal the sick. Hallelujah. In where it's listing the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12:9, it calls it the gifts of healing. You know, the other ones were gift, the gift of knowledge and the gift of wisdom, but the in healing it's plural. And a lot of times people will have a special anointing for one thing. When the Azusa Street Revival hit over 100 years ago and there was such a mighty outpouring of God's Spirit and healing, there was a lot of young people, like from 12 to 14 there, that had different gifts of healing. There was one girl that if anybody had a tumor, she'd just go command it to fall off, and it'd fall off in her hands, and she'd throw it away. There was a young girl that had a gift for healing deaf ears, and another one for healing blind eyes, and another one for healing, you know, raising people up that were crippled and raising them out of wheelchairs. And so, but it was like God used different ones and different gifts. And that's why we're a body. You know, we all need to be flowing in the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? Because we need everyone. There has been a revival going on for 17 years at Bethel in California, Bill Johnson's church. And they have had just countless miracles. And they have been keeping track of it. They hire a person specifically. All they do is document healings that are confirmed by the person's physician. People that were healed and their doctor says, yes, they're healed. And they have thousands and thousands of healings. But a lot of times the healings like come in waves. It's like, all of a sudden, you know, there'll just be lots of deaf people getting healed. And sometimes the healings will come in waves, and there'll be cancer healed, and there'll be this and that and other things healed. Sometimes people are healed when words of knowledge come and they just stand and receive it, or when people lay their hands on them. But a lot of times people are just healed when they're worshiping the Lord. They've had a lot of bipolar people healed, people with mental problems of different kinds healed. And most of those people that were healed were just healed when they were worshiping the Lord. It just happened. They got in the Spirit and that thing left. Hallelujah. The gifts of healing work with faith. The greater the expectancy in an individual or congregation, the greater the results. Divine healing is paid for and is always within our reach as Christians by faith. It's been paid for. It's ours. Nevertheless, when there's a strong presence of the Lord, there's an increase of the gifts of the Spirit, and that includes healing. It's like the expectancy. It's like when you come with a great expectancy, it's like things just begin to move and happen. Hallelujah. So we need the presence of the Lord. Calvin and I, have received divine healings all of our lives, but when we were growing up, we were in what was known as a healing revival. And I know when I was a little girl, my parents would plan their vacations around going to Oral Roberts meetings. And there would just be hundreds every night people go through the healing line. And we saw so many people come out of wheelchairs. And we saw personal things. We had a close friend that went to our church, a neighbor of ours, and she had been in a wheelchair for years and years and years, and she immediately came out of her wheelchair and walked. My mom and dad had went down to help fix a windmill on my granddad's ranch, and daddy was up above, you know, pulling the pipe up, and it was tied with chains to hold it up. And my mom was on, there's just the two of them working. My mom was on the bottom under the pipe, putting new leathers on the pump, on the windmill. And the chain broke and a piece of 20-foot pipe fell on mom's hand. And it was between metal and metal, and it just crushed her hand. And they took her to the hospital, and they wanted to remove her hand. They said, "We want to amputate your hand." And she said, "No, you will not take my hand off." And they said, "Every bone in your hand is crushed. And all we could do is put wires in your hand so it would have some kind of a semblance of a hand. Otherwise, it was nothing." And we went to an Oral Roberts meeting, and mom got prayed for and was immediately healed. We went home. We went back to our hotel from the meeting, and mom got a pair of scissors and cut a phone book. She could cut a phone book with that hand that had been crushed. We came back. She went to the doctor, and he put her hand under a fluoroscope or like an X-ray machine. And he says, "I don't have time to play games. Put your broken hand under there." She said, That was my broken hand. God healed me. Hallelujah. When Calvin was a little boy, he fell out of the tree and just busted his leg, obviously broken. His mom went running out. She prayed for him. It was immediately healed. He got up and ran off. And so we grew up seeing just miraculous healings all the time. But there was just a flow of healing all across the nation. It was just a mighty flow of God's healing. Hallelujah. My eyes were healed. When I was in third grade, I wore glasses so thick. It was just thick. I could hardly see. And immediately my eyes were healed, and I went to 20/20 vision. God healed my eyes. I had asthma when I was a child. God healed me. And that way, these others were like instant healing. But when I had the asthma and I was suffering so bad, I just says, you know, and we hadn't heard of confession and, you know, praising God for things, and we hadn't heard that message. But I just says, you know, if I start thanking God for healing me, he'll heal me. So I just started thinking, "Thank you, God, for healing me. Thank you for healing me." And sure enough, it was healed. It was just totally cleared up. Hallelujah. 20 years ago, I don't know how long ago, a long time ago, we were youth pastors in Sierra Vista. We had about 20 kids at our house, and after we had done our service, the kids went in the backyard to play football, and they were, of course, rough, and one, Clay, broke his arm, and it was, you know, had a bend where arms don't have elbows or bends. It was just obviously broken, and we lived near the Sierra Vista Hospital, and Calvin started to just pick him up and run him to the hospital. And he was heading in to pick him up, and the Lord says, "Stand back, stand back." So he just stood back, and the other kids just got around him and began to pray for him. And within 10 minutes, he was back playing football. The arm was completely healed. And so God is a healer. He's miraculous. Hallelujah. And sometimes the Spirit moves. It's like waves will come through, or times of refreshing and revival will come through. And I would like to read you some prophecies of healing revivals in Douglas. And this was, here's some excerpts from prophetic words from our morning prayer meetings in the fall of 06. So that was 9 years ago. And some of the prophetic things that were said was, Faith Ministries Church is a base of coming and going, like a military base. It's not a normal church, but God's original idea of a church. Healing central, revival central, many births, souls, plans, purposes in this place. Very bright light extending out always, but especially north. An epicenter of light going out. Faith Ministries Church is revival central. Flames of fire will shoot out all over the state. He's calling us to bring forth revival, not like waves of the past rise up, stay up on a wave of leadership to teach the young. There'll be a dome covering here in Mexico. And it's real interesting. I didn't bring it, but year before last at Bridge Builders, some of these very same things were prophesied by Dutch Sheets and Chuck Pierce. You know, they said a revival will start in a town on the border in the southeast corner of Arizona. Well, guess where that is? And they said that a revival will start there, and it'll go north, and then it'll go and cover all of Arizona. And so a lot of the things we heard 9 years ago, it was, you know, the Lord brought it again. And at the reunion in 07, Ruth Vega, which is Denise's mom, gave a prophecy that said, it's going to be like a river of the presence of God. Many thousands are going to come and drink. They're going to refresh their lives. They will be strengthened by what they receive in this place. This place is a place to strengthen the people, to bring refreshment. God's presence is going to fill this place with His glory. People are going to come from different places. They're going to come and drink because they're going to know that in this place they love God. They worship God with all their heart. And there'll be immediate miracles. Hearts will be healed. Miracles of healing are going to happen in this place because of the glory of God, because of the presence of God. God has looked for places where His Spirit can manifest. His eyes have went throughout the earth, and He has found in this place a place where He can feel loved and honored. It says many thousands are going to come and drink. And when we were in California, there was a speaker there that was the pastor of the Vineyard Church in Toronto, Canada, where they had the great revival that started 20 years ago. And it was just totally a surprise. The Spirit of God fell, and they had church for months and months and months and months every night. And people begin to come from all over the world. And people were touched by the power of God. There was a strong, strong presence of God, a presence of healing. They had just a multitude of teeth filled, gold teeth, people's teeth filled and with gold. Lots of manifestations of the Spirit. But looking back, he said people came and they got a fire there that then they carried out. That's where the Bakers that are missionaries to Mozambique that have totally turned that country around, they received their calling in that meeting. That's where Bill Johnson got the flame for revival, was at that Toronto meeting. And they've named many, many, many people that where revival has went out and started in other places. And they got touched there. And so, you know, there's anointings that you have to catch. You know, there's things that you catch in the Spirit that you're not taught. You don't learn it through your mind, but you catch anointings. And so it's important to be where God is moving and receive the touch of the Holy Spirit and the anointing of the Spirit that's happening in that place. Like Toronto, multitudes of the people that went there and were touched mightily by God now are in other places where revival's just flowing and going. That's where Cheon, the pastor in Pasadena, when he has a big congregation, but that's where he got his calling. That's where he was touched of God. And so when it says revivals come and thousands of people are going to come, people are going to come in and they're going to go out and they're going to come and receive the anointing that's flowing in this place. And then they're going to take it and God's going to send them out and it's going to just multiply across the earth. Hallelujah. So that reminded me when I heard the testimonies last week, it reminded me of this prophecy. April 10th, 2013, Peter received this from the Lord. There is a dome over Douglas. When people enter the dome, they get healed. People will travel here from other places just to get healed. Douglas will be known as Healing Central. Well, when Peter got that from the Lord, he didn't know about the prophecies that came forth in 06. I don't think he did. I don't think he'd heard him at that time. He hadn't. But so many of what he said there was what was God was saying back there. You know, it was a witness. April 25th, 2013, Mark Zepeda said, I saw people prayer walking. They are like white blood cells to the body. Douglas will live. The blood cells will move through Douglas, healing antibodies of Christ to every organ that is failing. All the germs and viruses and sicknesses will be washed out. All the harm done will be healed, and all harm coming will be dodged or destroyed. Jesus is the doctor of our city, of our nation, and he's here to heal. Illness and disease will be destroyed by antibodies of Christ. Hallelujah. This is our DNA. This is who we're called to be. It's in us. It's here. That anointing is here, and it will manifest. Hallelujah. Healing is always God's will. John 10:10, it says, the thief comes not to, but to kill, steal, and destroy, but I'm come to give you life and life more abundantly. Well, is sickness life abundantly? No. And Jesus came to give us life and that life more abundantly. Hallelujah. The healing that Jesus brings is more than spiritual, more than mental, more than physical. His healing is to make us whole, healthy in soul, mind, and body. Healthy in our relationships with others, in our attitudes and habits, in our way of life, all the days of our life. Jesus is a complete deliverer from the hurts and ills of life. And many times sickness enters through grief or unforgiveness and disappointments. Proverbs 13:12 said, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And when our heart is sick, it opens the door for our body to be attacked. So that's why it's important that Jesus cleanse our soul, that we search ourselves daily, that we stay in fellowship with the Lord and stay clean in our heart. Hallelujah. Amen. Isaiah 54, we're going to go there. Isaiah 53, 4 through 5 says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. I'm going to read both of those verses in the expanded Hebrew definitions. Verse 4 says, surely he has borne our griefs, anxiety, calamity, disease, grief, sickness, and carried our sorrows, anguish, grief, pain, sorrow. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace, shalom, safety, health, prosperity, peace, wholeness, was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. We're thoroughly made whole. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus' healing is for our souls, for our emotions, our feelings, our thoughts. His healing is for our body. His healing is for our whole being. Hallelujah. He took it. He carried it. Hallelujah. And I love the chastisement of his peace was upon, our peace was upon him. That peace is just awesome. It means safety. He was chastised that we would be safe. Health, prosperity. It includes our prosperity, our financial well-being, peace, wholeness. It's just like it's a complete provision for all that we need that he did for us. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to our sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Hallelujah. Psalms 107:20 says he sent his word and healed him. So the word of God is powerful. God's word is powerful. His spoken word is like a prophetic proclamation. And he sent his word and healed him. His word has life. The living word, the spirit of the word has life. Hallelujah. It's good to quote the scriptures when you're believing for healing. When Jesus healed the people of their sickness, he was freeing them from the oppression of the devil. Many times, discerning of spirits work together with healing. We've already talked about that. We're going to read Acts 10:38. And it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Hallelujah. So people that were sick were oppressed of the devil, and he went about healing them and setting them free. There's many ways to minister healing. There's the laying on of hands. We're going to read Acts 28:8. It says, and it happened that the father of Publius was lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went into him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and healed him. And then we all know James 5:14-15. I'm going to read that. It says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. What saves the sick? The prayer of faith. Hallelujah. Will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. And that's all part of God comes to heal the whole man. Hallelujah. When he heals our body, he forgives our sins and we're washed clean. That's good news. Always good news. Amen. Oh, healing also comes by speaking the word. Matthew 8:16 says, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word. In other words, he commanded the spirits to leave and healed all who were sick. Hallelujah. We're going to go to Mark 3, and we're going to read 1-5. And he, Jesus, entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath. That's the Pharisees watching him, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, step forward. Then Jesus said to them, Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they kept silent. And when he had looked around at them with anger, because he knew their hearts, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. It's like when you're dealing with, here it was like a command, stretch out your hand. It was a command, do this. And when Jesus cast out the demons, it was always a command. You don't reason and try to reason with demonic spirits. You just cast them out. You command them to leave. And here, you know, intercession is a wonderful gift in the prayer. You know, it's a good thing, but you never see people interceding for healing or interceding for demons to be cast out. Demons are cast out by a command. Hallelujah. And healing comes by faith. And I'll oftentimes a word is spoken. Stretch out your hand. Rise up and rock. It was a word. It was a, like a prophetic word, a word of the Lord that was a command. Do this. Do this. Stretch out your hand. Rise up and walk. Hallelujah. So casting out devils is a command. We have authority over them. And so we need the discerning of spirits to know who we're dealing with, and we just can command them to leave. Hallelujah. We have that authority. And then the healing and the things that that person needs will come. Amen. Matthew 15, we're going to read 22 through 28. It says, and behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Healing always comes with faith. Hallelujah. It always happens with faith. And many times in the scripture it says, your faith has made you whole. You know, various places. But there were places where it was Jesus' faith that made him whole. Faith always is involved in healing. Healing always comes with faith. Sometimes it's the person that's praying has that faith. And sometimes, person themselves have the faith. Sometimes it's a mixture of both. We heard a testimony from Leon that comes from Oklahoma on mission trips, and he was out knocking on doors, and he just felt to go to this house, and he said, knocked on the door, and he said, I believe in healing, and I believe in the healing power of God. Do you have anybody here that needs healed? We're not interested. She started to shut. She said, he said, God put it on my heart. Somebody's sick here. And she said, well, it's my husband. He's getting ready to have his foot amputated. He's back in the bedroom. And then she turned around and walked off. But she didn't shut the door. So he walked in. He kind of walked down the hall thinking that the bedroom would be, he opened a door and went in, and the husband was there. And he said, God sent me to pray for you for healing. What's wrong? And he pulled the covers off his leg, and his foot was just black. And they said, they're getting ready tomorrow to amputate my foot. And he says, well, God wants to heal it. And he says, I don't believe that. And Leon told him, well, it doesn't matter whether you believe or not, because I believe. And Leon said, he said he hated to even touch the thing. It looked so horrible and infected and awful. But he said, I laid my hands on it, and I command the infection to leave and for healing to flow. And he said, the man just laid there, and I stood there a minute, and I turned around and started to walk out the door, and he just screamed. And Leon turned around, and his foot was immediately normal. It was back to the natural color. It was healed immediately, just like that. And it was Leon's faith. He had the word of faith that that man was healed. And there was a grandson there that witnessed this. And he was a drug gang member. Really rough young man. And he was converted to the Lord because he saw the miracle in his grandpa. And their whole family was converted to the Lord and is still going to church by the healing that took place. And it wasn't that man's faith, it was Leon's faith and the Lord urging him to go. Hallelujah. I'm going to read a prophecy by Chuck Pierce. And it says, the Lord says, I want to heal my people from the trauma, from the hurts, from the wounds, from the discouragements, from anything that came upon you in the last season that wants to keep you from going into the new, unencumbered. Every dart, every broken, torn place, hope deferred, even disease that's worked its way into our flesh because of trauma, because of pain, because of unforgiveness. We release the compassion of Jesus, the very virtue of the Spirit of God that flows from that place of love that transforms and heals. Hallelujah. And this, we're just all going to receive this. In Jesus' name, we release off of you oppression, depression, discouragement, hope deferred, unbelief, fear, rejection, betrayal, and trauma. In Jesus' name, we break it off of us all right now. Right now. We break off trauma. We break off fear. We break off betrayal. Betrayal's a heavy thing. You know, some of us have been betrayed by people we love, and that's a heavy thing. But right now, we break it off in Jesus' name. We break off betrayal, and we just thank you, Father, for your healing power flowing in our hearts, in our emotions, in our body right now, Father. We just thank you for your healing power flowing through us. Flowing through us right now, making us whole and well and ready to move in to the next phase of what you have for us. Father, we want to be rooted and grounded in the love of God and be in peace with the Lord. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for your peace settling upon your people right now, for setting us free from everything, anything that would encumber us and keep us from going forward, Father. We just let your power and your peace flow out to every person that's here right now tonight. Lord, heal the wounds, heal the hearts. Oh, Lakaya Neshea Teya Shea, as we're praying, there's things coming up in your heart. The Lord's bringing your attentions to things that right now you need to let go of. Just let things that's coming up in your heart, hurts or disappointments or unforgiveness, whatever it is, just as it comes up, just give it to Jesus. He paid. For our peace and total well-being. Lord, prepare our hearts to be ready to go into that next place that you have for us, to the promises of the Lord, that we catch the wave, the coming wave that's already building of the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, matahani ashe. Holy, 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 holy. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Calvin had a word Sunday about there's a wave flowing and that we're to catch it. Be ready, catch it. And Eric said some things about catching waves, to, you know, to surf the waves and go with the waves. And he said, he says, you know, talk to people that's been there. Where's the place you need to be in? How? What's the timing? What do they do here? You know, you need the wisdom to catch the wave. And that's one of the reasons we talk about revival and how revivals flowed in the past. It just helps us get in position to catch that wave that's coming. That wave that's coming. And that's why we went to California, because these are people that's in revival and have seen great revival. And it's like we're studying the field, we're studying the waves, we're studying how is this going to happen. And you know, it's like every move of God that comes, sometimes the manifestations are different. You know, they'll come in different ways, and different waves of the Spirit will come, and there'll be different kinds of manifestation, but it's just all our hearts being right to be in position to catch what God is doing. Hallelujah. And then however he moves will just be awesome. Hallelujah. I remember we were in such a revival when I was a little bitty girl. It was just like, just such a revival and move of the Spirit and lots of healings, lots of manifestations of the Spirit, lots of people getting lost in the Spirit and the Spirit moving. And we had revivals all the time. And you know, church would start at 7 o'clock at night, and we never went home before 10, and it's because the people were just passed out in the Spirit. It's like when people used to be slain in the Spirit, they were out for hours. You couldn't wake them up. And you know, people would be slain all over the front of the church, and then people would have their hands in the air and their eyes shut, and they'd dance all over the front of the church and never look down and never step on anybody. And we saw holy rollers that people would just roll like a pencil from one wall to another wall. And we saw a lot of manifestations that were awesome of the Holy Ghost. And we have seen many different moves of the Spirit. And sometimes there's different manifestations, but they're just, it's always the same power. And it's always a move that just overwhelms you with the presence of God, and there are always healings, and there's always manifestations of God's glory and power. I know we went to a revival meeting in Tucson a number of years back with Rodney Howard Brown, and Bobby had called us from Tulsa, and he says, "You've got to get to that meeting." Our pickup was broken. We had a hard time getting there. We were late the first night because our pickup had broke down, and we came in the building late, and it was a big church, and we walked in the back door. And when we walked in and just barely started up the aisles, Rodney Howard Brown says, "That couple that's just walking in right there." And he just said that, and we went to the floor, and we were drunk for like 3 days in the Spirit. We couldn't talk English. It's just like we couldn't talk English. We just talked in the Spirit. And just was, you know, was slain in the Spirit numerous times, couldn't move, couldn't get up. You know, I tried to lift my leg. I couldn't lift my leg. I was just frozen in place. But it was such a powerful move of the Spirit that we came home with a tangible presence of the Lord. We had a guy come by our house right after we got home, Norman Wicker, and he came by just to tell us something going on and greet us and just came by for a quick visit. And he walked in the door, and we reached out to shake his hand, and he was slain in the Spirit right there in our living room. And was out for a long, long time. Just couldn't wake him up. He was slain in the Spirit. But we got a mighty touch of God upon our lives. And he didn't even know what had happened to us. But we touched him and it hit him. It got all over him. And we've seen that. When you get in the Spirit of the Lord, it's like, you know, you carry that. You catch that anointing. You catch that anointing. Hallelujah. And that's one of the reasons we go to the meetings in Tucson, to the meetings in California. There's people with the same heart that says a wave's coming, a wave's coming. And these are people that are in revival or have been in great revival. And you know, they know, and we want to be there. We want to catch that anointing that's there. Hallelujah. We want, hallelujah. We're hungry for whatever God wants to do and however he wants to do it. But we're believing, we know that this wave's coming, and there's going to be a lot of healing in this wave of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. And you know, it's like, you know, when we were seeing all the waves of healing as children, just seeing them over and over again. You know, we didn't have healing classes and healing schools. It was just flowing. There was just a healing power flowing. It just happened everywhere you went. It happened at home. It happened at church. It happened everywhere you're going. Hallelujah. And they're seeing that in Bill Johnson's church. You know, they're just healings all over. And they just have so many testimonies of people that were healed at the mall. And someone came and says, I'm interested in your mall ministry. And he says, well, we don't have a mall ministry. Well, what about all the tests? He says, well, we have people that shop. And just wherever our people go, that's where the miracles happen. You know, but they were looking for a mall ministry. He says, we don't have a mall ministry, but our people do shop. You know, they go shop and things just happen. Hallelujah. I'm ready to catch that wave that's coming. Amen. I'm ready for it. I'm just hungry. I want to position myself to be in that wave of the Spirit that's coming. Hallelujah. And it's going to be mighty. Okay. Hallelujah. Well, it's time to go home. Hallelujah. Just go home and just let your hearts be hungry, 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 and ready to receive what the Lord will do. Amen. Is there anybody that needs prayer? Okay. It's gone? Thank you, G. She came in with a terrible backache. She couldn't even hardly move. I saw the pain in her face, and it's gone. The pain's gone. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.